It is Locked On Jazz for the 28th of August. Did anybody in the Western Conference really have that good an offseason? Kevin Pelton says no. I'll explain. Plus, our summer interview series with the great Big T, Thurl Bailey, starts today. It is Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, all that fun stuff right here. You can hear the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Jazz. Thanks very much for tuning in. The summer interview series continues with Thurl Bailey this week. We'll have Big T on. Today's show is brought to you by my friends over at InterCap Lending, as well as The Store. So Thurl will join us in a second, but I want to go. Kevin Pelton put out an interesting piece in which he gave the Jazz a C- for the offseason. I don't quite follow it. We'll have Pelton coming up on the show next week, I think. So I'll ask him more about it. But his comment was that the Jazz brought down their players. It's a good thing that they brought them all back. They won a playoff series, second best average projection of RPM. But it came at a high price in free agency. Favors getting $16 million. Exum's three-year deal cutting into salary cap was his kind of comment for next year. But the Jazz could still have up to $40 million without Favors next year. So I'm not sure I totally follow the C-. But what I thought was interesting here is when you run down the Western Conference grades, he really is only favorable about three teams, maybe four. Okay, so he gives Dallas a B+. They add DeAndre Jordan on a one-year deal, and they obviously pulled off the trade for Luka Doncic, and he has Luka as a star. I don't think they turn themselves into a playoff team, but and by the way, worth noting, he calls C a team that did as well as reasonably expect. Any grade better than that means a team improved its outlook for the season or long term. So sure, Dallas made a big play on draft night. They got a guy that Kevin believes is a future star. That's okay. Denver, of playoff teams, he gives a B. Okay, so pair of gambles, Michael Porter Jr. and Isaiah Thomas. He likes them both. They got Luka Doncic back. They got rid of, I think their big thing, though, frankly, is they got rid of Wilson Chandler. They got rid of Kenneth Faried. So I actually think that they got addition by subtraction. Kevin kind of agrees and gives them a B in that regard. And really, Wilson Chandler had become a player who wasn't delivering as you had hoped he would. It's interesting to me, he gives the Warriors an A-, I guess just getting that kind of talent in DeMarcus Cousins for $5.3 million with nothing guaranteed and you can release him if he's a problem. But this is where it gets interesting. So those are the positives. And Denver probably did get better. Sorry, Denver gets a B. And you know what? If Isaiah Thomas can score for that second unit anywhere near where he was in 16-17, I mean, that's a second-team All-NBA player, we have no idea where he is, and they are trying to score. So I'm with him 100%. This is where I thought it got interesting. Houston, he gives a D+. They got Clint Capela signed, but as we've talked about a great deal, they lose Trevor Ariza, they lose Luke Bamute, they bring in Carmelo Anthony, they're relying on James Ennis and Gerald Green, unless they've got something else up their sleeve. So when we start talking about the West and everybody's saying the West got better, well, did it? Because Houston got the D+. He gave the Clippers a C, just an average. They held pat. I think that's probably exactly the right call. They really almost are in a holding pattern, which I think will be weird for their locker room. Mike Scott had an amazing year last year. A bunch of people at Washington shot lights out last year. Mike Scott was one of them. They got Bamute. Avery Bradley is back. And, I mean, they're kind of the same team they were with the Tobias Harris trade after Blake Griffin moving on from Chris Paul. They just held. The Lakers obviously got better. That's the big change. The Lakers add LeBron. We don't even need to. But Memphis, not sure they got better. Minnesota gave him a C-. Anthony Tolliver replacing Bielitsa. Derrick Rose basically replacing Tyus Jones. He gave them a C-. New Orleans is the team that I think got better. I like the getting rid of DeMarcus Cousins, having Elfrid Payton replace Rajon Rondo and bringing in Julius Randle. He gives them a B. But how much better? Like, we're talking, the West is loaded. It was loaded. And maybe my point, but like, how did it, who got that much better? Oklahoma City had this great offseason because the other choice was a disaster. Right? If Paul George leaves, now they have Russell Westbrook all by himself on this one contract, and what are they doing? It's a huge, huge win for them. But I still think there's a legitimate question. If Russell Westbrook's your main guy, how much can you win? They have a $200 million payroll, so I'm not entirely sure they're done yet. And Dennis Schroeder, who they picked up because they had to bump Carmelo, will be interesting if they play him next to Westbrook, but he's a really inefficient player. He gives Oklahoma City a B+. I think they get a B+ because the other choice was a F. Right? They were staring at a AP exam with a chance of failing. Portland, he gives a C-. They lost Pat Connaughton, Ed Davis, Shabazz Napier. They replaced him with Seth Curry. They're relying on Zach Collins and Caleb Swanigan to pick up Ed Davis. Void. And San Antonio gets a D. Quite obviously. And the retirement of Manu we'll touch on before we go to Thurl. So it's interesting. The mantras, the West got even better. It did because they got LeBron. And Denver is probably better, and I actually think New Orleans is better. But I'm not sure I buy that anybody else. Like, I don't think Oklahoma City got a lot better. I mean, they lost Carmelo, but they added an equally inefficient Dennis Schroeder. How they use him will be interesting. And, frankly, Russ has not proven that he can carry it. So it's an interesting point. We'll talk with Thurl Bailey coming up about Rudy Gobert and things like that. Before we do, I just want to tip a hat to Manu Ginobili. You know, he could have played for other teams. Nothing I enjoyed more than watching Manu Ginobili with his kids right before games. His passion, his energy, the way he plays. Just absolutely fabulous. He's just absolutely a pleasure and an honor to watch Manu and what he's done in his career. And sad to not see him again. One of the players who really, truly, now that he's not going to be on the floor or not going to be out there, is a bummer to me. Like, I'm going to seriously miss seeing Manu Ginobili. And the passion, energy, played with Gordon, wore number 20 because of him. Players who loved the game and understood the game certainly looked at him as a model. And, you know, really, truly one of the great international players we've ever had, straight into the Hall of Fame. No questions asked. Today's show is brought to you in part by The Store. I always tell you that The Store at 600 South and 20th East has these this great feel of being your local grocery store who goes out of their way to find local companies and support them. The new one is GF Bakers, gluten-free products. GF, gluten-free. New line of gluten-free bakery goods come from cookies to cookie dough, all sorts of others. So check it out. GF Bakers, they've added that. They have an entire new specialty cheese case from France, Denmark, Italy, Germany, and Switzerland. And of course, they have the mudslide cookie. Mudslide cookies every day. They've added Seattle chocolates to their lineup as well. And over at the Ace at the 6200 South, 20th East, Cottonwood Ace is right around the corner. And they've got all the grilling needs you have. They have the Traeger wood-fired grills if you want to still get a little barbecue in. Basically, they have the best showroom of Traeger that's out there. It's the store, 6200 South, 20th East, right in Holiday. You'll feel it the minute you walk in that there's a personal touch to what's taking place. The June pies are there every day, and the mudslide cookie is a must. Go check it all out at 6200 South, 20th East, the store. Summer interview series continuing with the great Thurl Bailey. You catch him on Jazz TV, former great jazz player, national champion at NC State, all around.
Blah, 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 blah.
I know, but one of the great guys around. Just, you got a great gift. You make everybody smile when they see you. There's probably no better gift around.
Well, thanks, brother.
So I want to just kind of, we're going to run through stuff where we've been doing the summer. For those who've missed it, Tony Jones, Craig Bolajack, Ron Boone, summer interview series are all already up on Locked On Jazz on past episodes. You can go grab them. They're timeless. I want to start with Rudy because you join us in the first and third quarters, and I don't remember when it was, but at a very early date, you said he's going to be special. What was it you saw then, and what are you seeing now out of Rudy?
Well, before I answer that, I want to go back in time. Were you agreeing with me? Did you mock me back then? I can't quite remember, D.
I actually think I was generally agreeing with you. I'm not sure I realized he was going to be this special. Well, we were both in that workout, weren't we?
Yes, we were. We were.
I mean, I think that was the first indication was that workout was that that there was a uniqueness to him. I wasn't as convinced, maybe as you were, that it was all coming together.
Well, I think it's really about the lens we see people through based on experiences, based on personal experiences, based on, you know, other players we know and we see how they turned out, good or bad. There's some things in there. There's some intangibles. There's some instincts that that you can read. And so I feel like I'm tuned into that. I've had enough playing experiences and playing against and with guys to see certain things. Now you can't see it all, but and you can't give everybody that, you know, that lens that they're going to turn out to be something, even though they work hard. But I think I just saw something in this young man at that time that basically said, you know, if he wants to be great, I think this kid can be, first of all, a great defender. And I think we all probably saw early on that offensively was going to take a little bit more work, but he had some intangibles on the other side of the ball that reminded me of certain guys who played in this league that had those same types of instincts.
So when you talk about this lens, is it moments? What are you trying to see in that lens?
Well, you know, let me give you kind of a quick history. You know, when I got cut in seventh and eighth grade, you know, I was 6'5 and 6'7 respectively. And the coach, after he cut me the second time, told me not to come back my last year. Well, he changed jobs. Another coach came in. I was still passionate enough to walk in the gym and try out that last year of junior high school. And I still wasn't very good, but he kept me. He kept me because what he told me was, you know, I see something. I see some potential in you. I see where I think you can go. So it's the lens in which we look at people with what they have and what potentially what they can be taught. And so with Rudy, I think, if you've seen enough players play, you know that even players who have that potential don't necessarily ever reach it. So a lot of it is on him. It's on, you know, the potential he sees in himself, how great he wants to be, and the people around him who are going to help develop him in that sense, and for him to allow them to do that. So I think when you talk about that lens, it's always based on our opinions, obviously, but it's our opinions plus our experience in who we've seen, other types of players who may be similar with certain instincts that I may have had.
When you were playing, I mean, let's go Jazz history here for a second. So I'm just trying to think of play. So we've seen John and Carl develop. We saw Gordon take a very different route, right? Like, I don't think I would guess there were times where you wondered whether Gordon had that.
Yeah, I think it was his rookie season. I wondered. But at the same time, D, I always put the factor in that he's in a place that's going to develop him if he wants it. What can he develop into? There were still signs that, you know, even in college, when he came out of college, there were signs that he could be a really good player. You just didn't know, you know, how good he could be or how good he wanted to be. But, you know, you saw his progression every year. He was in a place, and not every team has this in this way, in a place where he could be developed into an all-star type player.
All right, well, then let's go to your – I mean, you're still worrying about yourself, I'm sure, a little bit in the process. But if we go back to 1984-85, you add this kid from Gonzaga, and then the next year you add this kid from Louisiana. What are your memories in regards to that lens on Stockton and Malone?
Well, first of all, you have to talk about the lens of the person or committee of people who picked him. And you're always taking a risk with that lens, especially when you're in that position to say, I think this kid can be great, or I think this kid will fit in with us, that he can develop some things that will fit in with us. It's been interesting with this Jazz organization through the different general managers and the different coaches, how we have to take certain things into consideration, like where we are. I mean, there's certain guys who just weren't going to come here. Certain players who are going to be great who just weren't going to come to Utah. And I think, you know, with that in mind, you have to, you know, look at players who fit the system and who you think will accept the system based on the systems they're coming from. So when you talk about John and Carl, you know, it's just interesting how things just work out. And I don't think it's luck. I think it's, you know, it's that lens you have that says, you know, we're going to take a risk here, but this kid might not be the best player in the draft at this position for us and in everybody else's eyes. But I think we've got a winner. We're not trying to build for right now. We're trying to build for the future. And these are the two players, John Stockton and Karl Malone, that I think will fit perfectly with what we do.
He's Thurl Bailey, debuted with the Jazz in 1983, still hanging out with us a few years later. Back with more as we continue the summer interview series here on Locked On Jazz. Locked On Jazz, I want to thank you. You've done it again. You're absolutely amazing. Over a year ago, Intercap Lending joined us as a sponsor. They had three branches at the time. They had moved their 40-year company to Utah and were building their Utah marketplace, and now they have 11 different branches. It's just a great story, and you're a part of it. And why have they been able to do this? Well, partially because of relationships. Real estate agents are sending people to Intercap. Why? Because real estate agents don't get paid if you don't close. And they know that Intercap Lending can get the job done. Brad Hickman wrote, Intercap Lending's been one of the best experiences I've had in refinancing a home loan. Steve Carter gave me detailed options, custom for my own situation. The loan process was made easy by the experience, knowledge, timelessness, personal nature of Steve and other members of Intercap Lending team. If you're looking for a mortgage, give them a call. That's exactly what we found out as well. Direct Lender, they've got more flexibility. They're hyper-responsive. They embrace change. Their app is terrific. We did most of our work through the app. Downloaded Intercap Lending. You can actually pre-qualify in this crazy market so that you can give that information to your realtor and be ahead of the game. 385-800-8528 is the number for Steve Carter. That's 385-800-8528. Steve Carter, Intercap Lending, 385-800-8528. Intercap Lending, NMLS, number 190465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. So Big T, we talk about these guys developing and coming together. Let's stay with Rudy for a second, and then we'll talk about that young kid out of Louisville. What do you think the next growth steps are for Rudy Gobert?
Well, I don't think it's much different than he's been doing. It happens in the off season. You put the work in, you prepare your body physically. You sharpen your timing defensively, your quickness. His biggest jump, I think, needs to come on the offensive end, where he can develop a couple of more threats on the offensive end. Is it a hook shot? Is it a Kareem style hook? You know, that's not as sexy to even the big guys these days. So I'm not going to rule it out, because I think we've seen a taste of it. It's just a matter of, is he confident enough to kind of bring that to his game? Is it that, you know, 5 to 10 foot push jump shot? We've seen him do it on occasion. I'm not sure it's, you know, a consistent part of his repertoire right now. So, you know, with a player like Rudy, his value, obviously, his value's on both ends of the court. You know, off the pick and roll, obviously, you got the stats. You know how valuable he is there. But his value is on the defensive end, and not just the noticeable things like block shots. It's the mentality that the defense has. When they see him in there, they're not about to go in there and challenge him. So that's an invaluable thing, especially in this league.
The switching defenses, it's a bigger conversation. I think it's being overplayed a little bit. But we saw with the Rockets and the Warriors, everything was being switched. So If everything's being switched and teams are able to do that on the pick and roll, then Rudy's got to be able, and so does Derek, frankly, have to be able to take advantage of when a small slides onto them. How are they going to do that?
Well, it works both ways. First of all, what you're talking about, taking advantage of a smaller on the offensive end, I think Derek is probably better at that right now than Rudy is. Derek has the capability of shooting over shorter guys. He has the capability of dropping down in the post and demanding the basketball. Rudy has some of that, but it has to be right near the basket, not so much on a post up and pounding the ball to get a good shot. But I think therein lies great coaching and great strategies to expect that, to understand that. I think Quinn Snyder's done a great job of that. But also on the other end, with team switching, maybe Rudy ends up on a smaller guard, that like a Steph Curry. You know, we've seen some of the results of that in the past. So how do you use your length? How do you, you know, stay connected enough that you're not too close where a guy's going to go by you? So I think in this strategic game, those things are going to happen. Those are some of the risks you take. Those are some of the liabilities that happen when you're those kind of players. But you know, there's always substitutions in that moment if it's working for them, and so I don't think that's going to hurt the Jazz as much, because every team's not going to do it, and the Jazz, I think, are going to be a better offensive team this year than we've seen in a while.
And I'll get, there's a longer conversation to it. I think we've seen in the last few years when teams try to mimic the best teams, we saw all those teams try to be like the Warriors, and they kind of made a fool of themselves. I think a lot of teams are going to try to do the switching, and they don't have the personnel to do it. Like the Rockets and Warriors had the personnel. I don't even know if I think the Rockets have the personnel this upcoming year with Carmelo to be able to do it at the same level. I think now they have a weakness. If you're going to switch 1 through 5, you better not have a weakness.
Well, we know Carmelo Anthony, to me anyway, is a weakness. I don't care where he goes. I think that he only plays a certain way, and when he has the ball in his hands, you're going to watch what he does. You're going to stand and watch, and that's not going to change in this day and age. And frankly, Houston's gotten a little worse when they lost to Reza. They lost some good defensive players.
So, Thurl, one of the things that we all talked about last year was, well, Rudy got healthy and it all turned. The more I've done research and the more I've looked at the season, it actually looks to me as though it was all there. Quite honestly, Joe Johnson and Rodney Hood were negative impact players. Rodney was disengaged. Joe just was aging. And when we cleared them out, all of a sudden everything came together. Simultaneously, Rudy got healthy. But I'm actually looking back and thinking that a lot of what happened in the second half of the season when the team exploded was actually built in the first half and was prevalent. Did you see any of that as well?
I think we all saw potential in that. I mean, even when they were losing games and even through the injuries, we saw a lot of good things. It just wasn't enough. And, you know, we sit there on the desk and we try to put a positive spin on things. And, well, you can only spin losing positive so long. You've got to talk about what we feel like the issues are. And obviously one of the Jazz's biggest was health. Having Rudy not in there is a big piece. Is it the only piece? No. I mean, you can still beat teams. You're still good enough to do that. But I don't. Frankly, you probably know this better than I do. I don't frankly remember a lot of blowout games when Rudy was hurt. So I think the Jazz had opportunities. There was just some factors, obviously, that didn't allow them to pull it off. Now, when you get Rudy back, obviously that is a big that's a big piece, because now the opposition isn't as confident offensively going down in that paint. Now, they've got to shoot very well from the outside, which the Jazz struggled a little bit defensively at times last year. But, I think we saw that potential. I mean, we know the pieces. We know how important they are. But the Jazz have this collective importance. And Rudy's a big part of that. But it's the point guard play. It's the defense of Joe Ingles and all the guys on the perimeter. It's the pick and roll from Derek Favors, that pocket pass that's so effective. So for this Jazz team, a lot of things, because our Jazz team's makeup isn't like a lot of other teams with, two, maybe three star players that the ball has to go through them all the time. It's got to be a collective thing on both ends of the floor. Although guys know offensively how many shots they probably are going to get up. Some more than others. Donovan Mitchell probably leading that stat.
Okay, this is really interesting because I 100% agreed with you. I didn't feel like there were blowouts. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
December 7th, lost to Houston by 11. Lost to Milwaukee two nights later by 17. Lost to Cleveland by 9, no big deal. Lost in Houston by 21. Lost in Oklahoma City by 37. Lost to Oklahoma City by 14, lost to Denver by 24, lost to Warriors by 25. Those were all in December. And somehow, some way, it didn't. The only night I really remember saying, forget it, was when we lost in Atlanta. When we got torched in Atlanta, and ironically enough, that's 19 and 28. That's the low point. And then the team loses six games the rest of the year. The only time in the entire season where I remember saying to Ron Boone, like, well, let's go look at our lottery situation, was leaving Atlanta.
Yeah, I remember that game. I'm with you.
Is that a testament to Quinn? Is that a testament to the character that Dennis has put in, or both? Or is that what allowed? I mean, I didn't realize how terrible December was, or I've just forgotten.
No question. I think all those things are big factors. And we've talked about Dennis Lindsay and the great job and the lens he has, the great job he's done to be able to put together a collection of guys, especially after, Gordon Hayward exodus, and to keep guys here. And also Quinn Snyder, and he's just such a strategist with what he's able to try to do night in, night out. Now, it doesn't always work, but it's pretty darn good, especially in certain situations, in close games. So, and the trust he gives these guys, because, you know, the players have to play. They have to believe in it, and they have to buy into it. So, yeah, it's a collection of all those things. And then, obviously, at certain times, certain guys get the credit, but everybody knows what their roles are when they're playing. And this team's just a little different for me. I think it's a different take on NBA camaraderie. You don't really hear, and then, not that there isn't any disagreements in the locker room, but you don't really ever hear anything coming out of there that would disrupt the overall goal.
He's Thurl Bailey. We'll touch on more with him, run through some of the Dante and Alec and what to expect from him on our next edition of Locked On Jazz. Locked On NFL is growing and becoming credible. Monday, it's the biggest stories with local experts. Tuesday, Sage Rosenfels joins Matt Williamson. And Wednesdays, it's Mike Renner, Pro Football Focus. Thursdays, it is Mike Sando. So make sure you add Locked On NFL. We've added Locked On Fantasy 24/7. If you need some extra insight on your fantasy football team, go download Locked On Fantasy 24/7. You can follow them all on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your smart speaker as well. Thanks very much for tuning in to Locked On Jazz. Thurl will be back with us for another edition next week. Kevin Pelton joins us a little bit on Locked On Jazz. It is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Send Thurl a big thank you on Twitter. You know how to get him on Twitter, don't you? Do you not know? I can tell you. Then I'll do that. @BigTBailey. @BigTBailey on Twitter. Send him a thank you.